welcome to the podcast episode about non-violent communication, in which I will talk about Rosenberg's so-called language of life. The basics of non-violent communication involves expressing ourselves with clarity, compassion, self-responsibility, empathy, and the common good in mind, which is the exact opposite of what violent communication is. Non-violent communication is, of course, designed for humans, so today we apply it to the horse world. But before, I would like to say a few words about who I am. My name is Britta. I'm a counselor, mediator, and coach, and my passion is it to accompany sensitive horse owners step by step on their journey to a peaceful togetherness with their horses, in which they can create a deep bond without dominance, control, and repetitive exercises, where they meet their horses at eye level and do fun things together, all while still mastering the daily have-tos. And on this journey, we also learn how we can help traumatized horses to heal. I'm super happy that you're listening to this podcast episode, and I hope you will find it interesting and helpful. In the two-year mediation and conflict resolution program I did here at the Justice Institute in BC, Canada, I heard about nonviolent communication for the first time. Before, as a lawyer, I surely learned the opposite. And although it was immediately clear which potential this has for the communication with our children, partner, parents, or co-workers, and of course with everyone else, at that time I didn't take the next step to think about how we actually communicate with our animals and if the principles of nonviolent communication could be applied here as well. If what we do with animals can be even called communication. Usually, our interaction with animals, especially with horses, is a one-way street. We ask, or better tell them, what we want them to do, and we use either pressure or rewards to motivate them to do it. We assume that they have an obligation to do what we ask, maybe because we feel they need exercise or a job and that they have to earn their keep. And since horses are naturally cooperative and of course don't like stress or even punishment, they are usually obedient and do what we ask. Aside maybe from a few horses who are resistant in one way or the other, maybe by fighting or by being very slow with everything. We humans tend to think horses love and enjoy what they do for us. Maybe carrying us around over jumps through the forest, or when they do their circles in a round pen, or whatever exercise we ask of them. Rarely we give them a choice to participate in a real communication, or in the decision-making process, for example, what we should do on that day, or if they even want interaction with us at all. Yes, of course, there are certain things that need to be done where there's not really much of a choice we can give, like doing hooves or vet visits when they're injured, much in the same way that we would not allow a three-year-old to refuse to see a doctor when it's necessary. However, for these situations, especially during the transition to a peaceful relationship, it is perfectly fine to use food rewards to convince our horse to participate. But these are not the situations I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about are these everyday situations where we go out to our horse and have a specific idea or plan what will take place. When we want to take our horse out to maybe lunge it or ride it in the arena. For these situations, I would like to offer a different idea on how to handle the situation and what to do, and over time, the good thing is, when we follow this approach, that these unavoidable situations like vet visits will become more and more peaceful and easier to handle as well. What now is nonviolent communication? It is basically a tool that helps us to move towards empathy and connection in our relationships. It consists of four steps. Let's say I would like to ask someone to do something. For example, I ask my partner to take out the garbage. Or I would like to make a suggestion. For example, I'd like to ask my friend to meet later tonight for a chat or so. And then the other person reacts to my question in a way that triggers me. That could be my partner says, you can bring out the garbage yourself, that's your job. Or my friend says, oh no, sorry, I don't have time for you today. Then we can go through these four steps. The first one is to observe what just happened without judging the situation. That could be done by asking myself, what have I just witnessed? The answer I'm giving myself could be something along the lines, when I hear that my friend is saying she doesn't have time for me today, then. The second step would be finding the emotion I'm feeling after I observed this. So I ask myself, what do I feel with what I have observed? That could be, I feel rejected, I feel lonely or sad. So the full sentence would be, when I hear that my friend is saying she doesn't have time for me, then I feel sad. The third step is to find my need behind that feeling. Needs are usually related to five areas, which are autonomy, that could be, for example, freedom or self-determination, then physical needs, for example, the need for air, water, sleep, distance, life support. The third area is integrity. Needs here could be authenticity, identity, or living in accordance with my own values. The fourth area is safety. For example, in need for protection, clarity, boundaries, and structure. And the fifth area is connection, like in need for appreciation, closeness, support, community, trust, recognition, openness, mindfulness, tolerance, and so on. So my sentence would be now, when I hear my friend saying that she doesn't have time for me, I feel sad because I need closeness and appreciation. The next question for myself would be, what do I need right now to fulfill these needs? That could be that I really, really want to talk to my friend, so I might ask my friend again. Or to fulfill my need in a different way, maybe talk to a different friend. Let's assume for now we would like to ask the friend again. But this time we would ask the question differently. But how? That brings us to step four. Step four is to reframe my question. A successful question or request is concrete, meaningful, realizable, and most importantly, negotiable. For my question to be concrete, I have to include what behavior I need and not let the other person guess. And I have to make sure my request is meaningful to the other person, because others are usually happy to fulfill a request if the meaning behind it resonates with them. A concrete and meaningful question in our case could be to say, I would be very happy to go to this restaurant XYZ with you, as I need to talk about something important, and you are my best friend, and I would be really happy if I could just be with you and also get your input. Now, for the other person, my question or request needs to be possible to fulfill. In that case, our friend must be in town or not at work or having another appointment. Let's assume this is the case. And now comes the most important part. Our request needs to be negotiable. That means that the other person always has the choice to decide for him or herself whether he or she will fulfill my request. A no means for me that the other person is just fulfilling his or her own needs. In our case, it could be that our friend had a really hard day at work and is beyond tired and could not pay the attention to us in a way that she would like to. Or it could be that she's dealing with her own issues right now and just doesn't have the capacity to talk to someone else. So, to say no when I ask my question is for sure for a very good reason. And if this person is not in a place right now to be open about the needs she's fulfilling right now, I assume that this has nothing to do with me, only with the other person's needs. And that it is okay because there might have been days where I also didn't answer my phone or really didn't want to talk to someone else because I was having a bad day. Of course, if that would happen on a regular basis, I can ask myself if this friendship is good for me and if I feel better after a contact or not, and if I have the feeling that I give more energy into this friendship than I receive. And then I can decide to find other ways to fulfill my needs for closeness with people who are a better fit for me and where I feel better after a contact. However, what we usually do when we hear a no to a request, we judge the situation, take the answer personally, and make assumptions based on our belief system. We think maybe, it looks like I'm not important to my friend. Or we think, what's going on? I said I need a chat, so you could do that for me. In a nonviolent communication, however, we would now take a step back, take a break, and feel inside. Because in reality, when someone says or does something that makes me sad, angry, or afraid, it is not the other person who puts that feeling into me. I do that completely by myself, with my thoughts and beliefs. But what this person does triggers something in me. It brings me in contact with my feelings, beliefs, and needs that are unfulfilled at that moment. And these needs are my reason why I'm not well at this moment. But if I go through these four steps in my mind, I can stay with me and my own beliefs, emotions, and feelings. And with that, I can better understand them and much easier satisfy my needs. If I now ask my friend the new, reframed question, which is basically, you have said this and that and it made me feel so and so because I have this or that need, then the other person can still misunderstand it or, of course, say no. And in a nonviolent communication, we accept this reaction and understand the other person just fulfills his or her own needs. In this way, we don't ponder about who's right or wrong and think about the feelings and needs we have and the needs the other person has, which helps us to understand the other person, but more importantly, it allows us to find our own needs and to fulfill them. At any given moment, everyone is somehow expressing what they feel and what their needs are. So nonviolent communication is basically about connecting authentically with ourselves and also with the other person. This is not only a tool, but a lifestyle. And when we are open about our needs, we often find out that we have the same needs like the other person, and we can then negotiate the request. Now, again, the possible reasons for a no briefly summarized are: my request was in fact a demand. The realization of my request was objectively impossible. Or another need is in the way of fulfillment. When I have now clearly expressed my feelings and needs and still get a no, then I try to understand that my request is just one of several ways to fulfill my need. I understand that the needs of the other person are not compatible with my request. Only when I take the needs of the other person seriously, my own needs have a chance to be heard, either by the other person or I fulfill my need by myself in another way. For this, I have to accept my own feelings, emotions, and needs, but also the other person with his or her needs. And I can gently say to myself, I am okay with everything that belongs to me. I take responsibility myself for the fulfillment of my needs. And then I can also ask myself, what do I need now to fulfill my need in a different way? About the other person, I can say, I allow you to disagree with me. Your world is untouchable. I understand and accept who you are and what you need. You are okay with everything that belongs to you. So far, so good. But what does this have to do with horses? Okay, let's go through an example. We go to our horse in the stall or paddock and want to put a halter on. And that is our question. Here's a halter, can I put it on? But now our horse turns away and walks away. Our normal reaction might be to immediately judge this behavior negatively. For example, I might think the horse doesn't want anything to do with me because it doesn't like me. Of course, I might also think that the horse knows exactly what I want and is just being rude. Then we will react accordingly. We could either follow the horse until it realizes that it has no chance and stops, and then we can put the halter on to show that its refusal is pointless. Alternatively, we could now start working with rewards and give the horse a piece of carrot every time it puts its head in the halter. In both cases, our question is answered. In both cases, what we wanted happened. We got the horse's head in the halter. However, in a non-violent communication, I would do neither. If the horse walks away when I come in with the halter, I would go through the four steps in my mind. What did I observe? The horse turned away from the halter and walked away. What do I feel about this? I feel sad. What need do I have that wasn't met? Maybe closeness, respect. Now I can start to think about possible reasons for that no to my question. Was it really a question or a demand? It would be for sure a demand if I would now follow my horse until it stops. But since I'm just waiting at the gate, it was a question. Next, I ask myself, was it possible for my horse to accept the halter? For sure it was. We are both here and we have done it countless times. Then I ask myself, is there maybe a need that my horse fulfills for itself right now? That could be a physical need. For example, it could be in pain. Or it could be hungry because it doesn't have free choice hay and it just got a portion of hay. It could also have to do with autonomy. Maybe my horse wants its freedom and play with another herd member in the paddock. Now, I can try to reframe my question. In that case, I could just wait with a halter at the gate and see if my horse comes voluntarily. I could get a chair and just enjoy being outside in the paddock for a while. I could bring something to read or do a breathing exercise. If my horse doesn't come after a while, then I can ask myself what the reasons for that no could be. Maybe I have to call the vet. Maybe I have to rethink the feeding situation, or my horse needs more playtime. Or maybe it is even afraid and stressed about what it anticipates what will happen when we are together. Now it's on me to work on resolving this so I can create positive experiences with my horse in the future. Yes, I hear you. You feel that your horse needs exercise, so you can't accept a no here, or you even feel that you can't let your horse get away with that behavior and let it win, as it then will always do what it wants. There's so much to say about this. For the part of not letting the horse win, I have another podcast called Trust versus Control, where I talk about this. And soon I will make another podcast in which I will talk about how we can make sure that our horse has enough movement and exercise in a peaceful togetherness. But most often the problem is what a no is doing with us. How we feel when someone like a friend, partner, or in that case our horse, says no to us. And often we also have difficulties to say no to others and to set our boundaries and do more for others than it is good for us. This is a longer topic as well, but in short, it is our own task to fulfill our needs and make ourselves happy, not the job of anyone else or our horses. We have the right to have our own feelings. We are okay the way we are. It is okay to say no and with that to fulfill our own needs. After all, if I allow others to say no without getting mad, then maybe next time I can allow myself to say no and fulfill my own needs when someone is asking too much of me without the fear of a negative consequence. It's also not our job to help others or to change them. It also doesn't matter if others get angry. These are their own feelings and it's not our job to take responsibility for meeting someone else's needs. If we follow this principle, it can make our world so much easier and more peaceful. Our own world and also the world of others. And it will be a joy to be around us. There's a study about happiness in which people were followed over many years, even decades, and they found out that what really makes us happy are successful relationships. This is not surprising. And that's why it is so important to improve all our relationships. The ones with ourselves, with other people, and the ones with our horses. And with nonviolent communication, we take a big step in the right direction. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. If something of what I said sounds interesting to you and you would like to know more about it, I would like to invite you to visit my website peopleandhorsesinoneworld.com or my Facebook, Instagram or Twitter account for more info. Have a wonderful day with your horse.